You've got music for everything, from pop hits for the gym to throwback jams for road trips. Now there's a Nissan for everything, too. Whatever life throws at you, from crazy commutes to unexpected adventures, there's a Nissan to help you through it. Click the banner to find yours at ChooseNissan.com today.
Log Talk Radio.
And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
Amen, amen. Welcome, brothers and sisters, to another exciting episode of The Remnant Call. I am your host this evening, Brother Frank, and co-host with me, Brother Todd. Say hello to the listening audience.
Hello, listening audience.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to have a special guest on tonight, Brother Benjamin Baruch, but he is not feeling under the weather right now, so we are going to reschedule this, maybe, Lord willing, for next week, but that is okay. God has a time and a place for everything, and when God is ready, we will have Brother Benjamin on the program, which we are still excited to do. But tonight we have an exciting message, and tonight's message is called Worshiping with Your Window Open. And we want to get right into the message tonight, but before that, we're going to pray, and I want to just discuss one little thing that's just kind of irking me in the news. But before we do that, let's just pray that God's Spirit would be present with us tonight. Brother Todd, would you open us up with prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us all here again. Heavenly Father, I beg that you allow us to speak the words that only you want us to speak. Help us to bless somebody out there with the knowledge of you, and help us, Lord, to live by the standard that you have set for us. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, before we get into the program, I just wanted to mention something that's just kind of getting in my crawl a little bit in the headlines. And I'm a tech guy. And, one thing that just bothers me is that, the president of the United States trying to hand over our internet, the world's internet, the ICANN service, which controls the domain naming of all the domains out there in the world, hand it over, to the UN, to the world, to manage instead of the United States. And it just frustrates me that we are so willing to give over every last bit of our sovereignty and freedom in this world. And and it just reminds me of how fast this country is truly going downhill.
Right.
And the thing that bothers me is because I see what we're doing in news and what's happening in the world is the same thing that's happening in the churches today. We're handing over our sovereignty. We're handing over truth. We're saying, you know what, I'm going to let someone else manage it right now because somehow the word is not good enough. And you might be wondering, well, how is that? Well, when you begin to, as a church, give in to the peer pressure of the social justice movement, of this new emerging church movement, which actually has been out for a while, and to the pressures of culture to surrender your right as a believer to follow what God says. It's the same thing we're doing when we're handing over the internet, and it frustrates me. I don't know, Todd, maybe it's because I'm a tech guy that just irks me to no end. I hope they stop it, but you know what? I've given up hope, and I'm so free that I don't care anymore about what happens because I can't stop it.
Well, you know what, Frank, I agree with you. I hate to see us hand over anything. I don't necessarily buy into American exceptionalism, but I do buy into the fact that every country needs to be different. I don't believe in a one-world government or anything. I don't know what it means. I have no idea what it means as far as I'm ignorant as far as the internet is. I think I'm turning into an old man now. But I have no idea what the ramifications are of this actually happening. How is my internet experience going to be different, and what freedoms or whatever may be impeded by such actions? I really don't know.
Well, I'm glad you've asked that question to me.
I didn't really ask, but
I'm glad to share with you. The reason this is so important is because you might want to listen to a program like this or go to a website and read something that's maybe it's deemed controversial or someone takes a strong stance on, you know, they're pro-life or, you know, pro-biblical marriage. And that is now considered hate speech by the world, you know, the UN and everything. And so now they have the ability to block and deny domain names and different things like that because their standards of freedom are not the same as ours. And it's very, very serious. And I don't think people understand. It seems like we're so willing to give everything away in the United States anymore. And I'm going to leave that topic alone at that. I pray God doesn't, but I realize I can't stop it. God sets up the kings. He takes them down and he rewards the people with the fruit of their thoughts. And if this is what we want to do, if this is what we want, if we're willing to do these things, then you know what? That don't be surprised when that's what happens.
Right. You know, if we have a moment longer, I've been given this peace. Now, you know, I've prayed about it. I don't think about it too much, but when the topic does come up, this peace overwhelms me, and I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit tonight about Daniel, but we're not going to go too deep into the political spectrum or anything. However, when it comes to nations falling or something happening to, you know, the country I live in, not that I don't love America, because I do. It was a great nation at one time. And, you know, I have as much pride as one should have for their country. However, if it were to fall tomorrow, I would not shed a tear because I know that there is an end in sight. I know that there is a hope.
Absolutely. This is not our home. This is not our home. We are here. We have a mission, and that is to spread the good news of Jesus and his soon coming. And as believers, as those that are called out in the last days, we have a duty to press in tight with the Lord Jesus, that we will be prepared no matter what persecution comes this way, no matter what happens. If our faith and trust is in Jesus, he will get us through. So with that, I will leave that alone, but that just gets under my skin, and we're going to move on into the message tonight, worshiping with your window open. And this message is near and dear to my heart tonight. We're going to talk about this topic because I pray that when we are done with this, that you will look deep into your life. And that everything we do on the Remnant Call should be calling you to a deeper walk with Jesus. And if we're not doing that, then we are missing what this program is all about. There are so many political programs out here, but we are not like that. We want to call you to a deeper walk. And I wanted to open up tonight's message with a story. And it's about a man. His name was John Currier. And he, in 1949, John Currier was found guilty of murder and sentenced to a life in prison. Later, he was transferred and paroled to work on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee. In 1968, Currier's sentence was terminated and a letter bearing the good news was sent to him. But John never got the letter, nor was he told anything about it. Life on the farm was hard and without promise for the future. Yet John kept doing what he was told, even after the farmer for whom he had worked for died. 10 long years that went by when a state parole officer had learned about John Currier's plight. He went out and searched and found Currier and told him that his sentence had been terminated and he was now a free man. I mean, think about that for a moment. Could you imagine if someone sent you an important message? The most arguably to him, that was one of the most important messages he could ever heard in his life. And year after year, this urgent message was never delivered. Wow. John had been given a message of freedom. His sentence had been terminated, but no one shared the good news. He never got the letter.
There's nothing more sad than somebody being free and don't know it.
Folks, tonight, the church needs a letter from Jesus. It's called the Word of God. And understand that their sentence, their bondage has been terminated if they will turn, repent, and put their faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't know about you, Todd, but I have some regrets, some missed opportunities in life.
Oh, definitely.
Have you ever been in a situation where you God was laying it on your heart, but either because of a lack of courage or whatever it may be, you missed that opportunity to say something?
Yes.
It eats you up inside.
It really does.
But then there's the flip side, too. You've been under that before, and you've actually spoke up and said something.
You mean when I wasn't supposed to?
When God was laying his a heavy burden on you.
Yeah, no, that definitely has happened. There's that is a very fulfilling feeling when you know that, you know, the Lord is pushing you to say something, and then you actually open your mouth and you have the courage to say it. Whether the person accepts it or not, there's still this overwhelming feeling that, you know, you did the right thing. However, when you don't, you're right. Yeah, I've experienced that. Unfortunately, I experienced that with somebody who was dying.
Mm.
Yeah, that's, I still see that guy's face, and I wonder what his plight was.
Mm.
But
that's tough.
Yeah, that is.
I'm sorry to hear that. You know, I can think of one instance particular where I was in the bookstore out at Barnes & Noble, and God was laying it heavy for me to say something to these college students, and I was warring inside, and I remember missing that opportunity, and I regretted it and repented. I was so sorry for it, and I couldn't believe I missed that. And it tore me up inside because I believed with all my heart God wanted me to say something. And you know, missed opportunities, we can't fix them, but what we can do is repent and go forward from here.
Hmm.
You know, that's what happened. I remember now another time I was down in North Carolina, close to my dad's. I was at a Subway. I think it was by myself, actually, or someone might have been with me. And I was outside the Subway, and God was laying it so heavy on my heart to go in and talk to this person inside. I'd already been in and went back out to my car. And to the point where I just couldn't resist it, I finally, begrudgingly, got out of my vehicle, walked back in, and I looked at the man, told him, said, God is trying to get a hold of you.
Yeah.
And I walked out and left. I don't even remember everything. I just turned around and left out of there. And it scared me, but I was so glad that I did it afterwards.
Right.
And so, you know, the good thing is, though, is that we can turn at any time. And I just like to say, church, believer, those who are listening to my voice, those who serve the Most High, we have a duty, a commission, a responsibility out of love for our fellow man and a demand from the Savior that this good news of freedom from bondage and confusion of this world that is contained in the book we call the Bible be delivered unashamedly and without pretense to a dying world. That is what God is calling us to do.
Amen.
Worshiping with our windows open. If you got your Bible tonight, I'd like you to just turn in the Word to Daniel chapter 5, and we're going to start reading in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 10. If you've got the Word there, if you could just open it up. And Todd, I'm going to ask if you could read for me here Daniel chapter 5, verse 10 through 12.
Of course. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation.
You're probably familiar with this story, a little bit background there. King Belshazzar had thought it would be a great idea to throw a huge party, and once everybody was good and drunk, he had this wonderful idea. Hey, let's go get the holy vessels from the temple in Jerusalem and drink from them and have a good time. You know, and of course you remember what happened. We saw the famous hand that wrote on the wall a cryptic message that he was not able to understand. Neither he or his astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, could make sense of this writing on the wall and what it meant. You know, I find it very interesting today that the same thing that happened to him seems to be the same thing that we're repeating over again. There seems to be a lack of respect among God's people today for the holy things anymore. Just as it was a bad idea for Belshazzar to get the holy vessels from, you know, the temple and decide to have a good time with them.
Right.
It's a bad idea for us to take that which is sacred and make it unholy.
There's some things you just don't play with.
Exactly. And we need to remember that the things of God are holy, and he wants us to treat them holy as he is holy.
Yes.
And so I find that very interesting. It seems like today, though, there's just no respect for God anymore, and for the holiness of God. It's more of like, I'll take the Lord Jesus if I can have him the way I want him.
Yes.
And not, but to respect him, no. We don't want to do that. But, you know, it's interesting. Even though all the Chaldeans and the soothsayers and the astrologers couldn't make sense of it, you know what? I'm so thankful that the queen had a little bit of intelligence in that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad some of us have been blessed to have good wives that happen to get us back on track when we get off, you know, off step. But it's what the queen said that has me so intrigued. And I want to look at verse 11 again. It says this in verse 11. It says, "There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God." See, Daniel was such a godly man that people that didn't even know who the God of the Bible was recognized that there was something different and special about Daniel. This is not the first time that had actually been said about Daniel. And I read this verse and I have to ask myself this question. When people see me, when people see you, do they say, "Now, there's a man or a woman in whom the Spirit of God dwells"? I mean, do people even know that you're a believer? I mean, if you were to die today, what would someone say about you at your funeral? Would they say, "Now here was a brother or a sister who loved Jesus, who served God with all his heart"? Or when they got up there and the pastor or preacher, whoever, started to say some religious things about, would they say, "Oh, yeah, I didn't even know he was a believer. I didn't even know he followed Jesus. I mean, I'm sure he went to church once in a while, but I didn't know he's devoted." See, Daniel not only knew the one whom he served, but so did everyone else who he came in contact with. Brothers and sisters, do people know who you serve? Do they know by the actions in your life the one who you follow? Do they know by the things that you say the one that you serve? When they hear you saying curse words as believers and things like that, do they understand that you follow Jesus? Folks, I find it very interesting sometimes how Christians think it's okay to swear. I don't find that a good thing. We don't bless and curse out of the same mouth.
Right.
But somehow I've found this amongst this thing among believers. It's okay when we're alone with each other to let a few slip. People are watching for the things that you say. They're looking at the way that you live. And you don't have to put on a show when you're following the one who does all, who gives all, who has done all for all of us. When you're following him with all your heart, his life will shine through you, and it will naturally be reflected in the things that you do. Remember, the Bible says specifically that there's something, it says, "You shall know them by their fruits." Bad trees don't give off good fruit.
Right.
If there's no peace, no joy, no long-suffering, none of those fruits of the Spirit evident, then brother and sister, beware. And I say that to look at yourself. I say it for me to look at myself and say, is there fruit? Because you can't false produce it. You can try to false produce it, but as soon as someone gets to know you, they'll figure it out.
You can smell bad fruit from a mile away.
You know what? And it starts to rot in the flies beginning.
That's right. Yeah, you start to see like, whoa, what was that? Yeah. Yeah.
But to pick the story back up, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1. Todd, could you take that down through verse 3?
6, 1 through 3. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm.
Well, here it is again. New leadership. Darius is in there now. And so now he recognizes this Daniel. There is an excellent spirit about him. Darius, who is not the same, you know, he's not a Jew just like, you know, Daniel is. He's a pro of the Persian Empire. And so here he comes in and recognizes and understands something is different about Daniel. It's so different and so amazing. I'm going to make sure that I put him over the rest of the people. Here is a Hebrew that is now ruling over the people in Babylon.
Right.
What is it? Do you see what I'm saying? I don't see anything about Daniel coming in here and preaching a long sermon to him. It just says there was an excellent spirit found in him. Something is about that. I remember I was down on a job site one day, and it was a job I was working with, a company. I was doing telephone work, and I was over actually helping our security side. And a general contractor that was there was leading his crew. He never mentioned one word about Jesus. But just watching him, I started to realize something's different about this guy. And before long, I became so convicted and impressed with this man. I knew that he was a deep, devout follower of Jesus. Right. Without even saying a word, his life reeked of a not your average believer. No, there was something so magnetic about this man and the one whom he followed. And I had to come out and just say something. I couldn't stand it anymore. It was driving me crazy working around him, because his spirit, it smelled this beautiful smell of Jesus. And it was just making a difference without even saying a word.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy was amazing. Verse 4. Could you pick it up there, Todd?
All right. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him.
You know, it's interesting. It's the presidents and the princes, it's interesting. When you follow Jesus, there's going to be some jealousy. There's going to be some false accusations. There's going to be some persecution. See, the problem we're running into today in this modern day church is we're trying to bring Jesus, people to Jesus in this way of, well, just come to Jesus and he'll give you peace and joy and just improve your life. It's all humanistic. You know, it's about what I can get from God.
Right.
It's not about what he's done for me. It's more about what I can get. And some people say, well, I'm not like that. Well, you know, I found when you look a little deeper, some people it's what they can get now, and other people's it's what they can get later. Well, I know heaven's my reward, or I know I'm going to get this thing. So we end up serving Jesus very superficially and very humanistically.
We make songs about it, too.
And so when someone comes and persecutes, we get offended and we get hurt.
Yeah.
Because that's not what I signed up for.
Yeah.
But here Daniel knew who he served.
Right.
And so it's no surprise that those people that came after them, but what I find so interesting, it's like Daniel was living so right, I don't even think he had a bad haircut, okay? I mean, they could find no fault. The guy, you know, just he had it together.
Right.
They couldn't find anything wrong with him. And it just goes to show, folks, that when we come close to Jesus, people are going to come after us. but God can keep us through.
Yes.
Verse 5.
All right. Verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They knew Daniel.
Yeah,
they knew him.
Yeah, absolutely. They knew he was completely legit. They knew there was nothing wrong with him. And so, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, you can almost see the round table. They're frustrated,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They're all getting together, you know. They're like, this guy's doing nothing wrong. What are we going to do? He is straight up. He doesn't mess up. He won't do anything against his God or against the law. And you can almost see that moment that the light begins to go off in their head.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, wait, hold on a second. Wait a second. It's not all over yet, you know. Hold on. I could almost hear the conversation. You know that Daniel, right?
Hmm.
He's faithful to God, you know. You can almost hear the response back. Well, duh, right? Yeah,
right.
I mean, we know he's faithful. And I could almost hear, you know, I know that, you know he would not dare break his God's law, right?
Yeah.
You can almost see the ears popping up in them. Okay,
yeah,
we're listening now. We're listening now. Then we'll do something to cause him to compromise his God's law.
Mm.
They knew that Daniel was unbreakable, and they knew that he would not go against what his God had commanded him to do. So they came up with a plan.
Mm.
Because if they can't find a fault in him, then they got to go about it a different way. And let's pick up the plan, Todd, there. In Daniel 6, chapter 6 and verse 6, could you take that down through verse 9?
Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree.
So they knew that they couldn't get him to compromise, so they came up with this plan. Let's go to the king. And so you see him there, all the presidents in the kingdom and the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree. They said, whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. So they're in, they're just kissing up. Oh, King Darius, you're so wonderful. You know, it's not right that anybody should be petitioning other people. You know, I'll tell you, folks, it's very dangerous when people begin to prop you up.
Hmm. Yeah. Didn't Proverbs say something about a flattering tongue?
Yes. And so when you begin to get propped up, you can begin, hey, you know what? That's right. Maybe why should they be doing that? And and when you allow your head to get swollen, when you allow people to tell you how great you are, and as believers, folks, we got to confess that when God, you know what, if you're reaching out or you're preaching, you're sharing the word, and you see that God has done a wonderful thing through a message, be humble about it.
Mm.
Be humble about it.
Yes.
And so here the king, he sees it, and so he's like, okay, yeah, I'll agree with that. Let's make if you mess with me, you're going to the lion's den. In verse 6, it says, now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, okay, see, Daniel had read the decree, okay, he knew it was now the law of the land, because it says in verse 10, it says, now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, not only was it the law of the land, but it was the right thing to do.
Right.
This is what everybody's going to be doing. And so now Daniel's stuck in this dilemma, right? Does he compromise the integrity of his faith and stop worshiping his God? Maybe he could just hide, you know, and kind of be discreet so no one would see him and wouldn't offend anyone.
Hmm.
But Daniel, full of faith, knowing the consequences, look at what he does here in the verse 6. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being open, his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. See, Daniel knew this, that day, that prayer may mean his very life.
Right.
Okay? And the law of the land was asking him to compromise. Daniel could have kept the windows closed, okay? Yes. They knew that he was worshiping with his window open, but he could have closed it, done it in private today. But Daniel knew that the only thing, and I want you folks to listen to this closely, the only thing a believer can do when the world is falling apart, when society has taken a downturn and compromised, is the run to God as fast as you can.
Mm.
So Daniel, what he does, knowing this is that, he goes to his house and with his window open, like he always did, falls on his knees and gives thanks unto the Almighty.
Mm.
I wonder what his prayer was like at that moment.
I'm sure it was. You know what? That's a good question. Because at that moment, he knew that he was going to be, but he had so much faith, he didn't care.
I don't like speculating at all, because speculation is just of man. But, you know, you just wonder what's going through his heart. You know, God, the world's against me, O Lord. All hell is loose, and I know that at this moment, I am laying down my life, but God, you are my protection. I'm sure Daniel was crying and pleading out because he knew that day his life was going to be lost.
Right. And, you know, we can also go back and look at the character of his friends during Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, with the whole fiery furnace ordeal. These guys had character.
Yes.
These guys, they didn't cower before kings.
No, they didn't. And they didn't. And, you know, instead of backing down, Daniel ends up standing firm with his window opening, and he worships God. And I got to just say hallelujah for that.
Amen.
See, I want to ask you, brother and sister, tonight, those who are listening in the archives, is your window open today? Do people know who you serve?
Hmm.
The world says shut up and don't offend. Compromise your beliefs. Be politically correct. But I'm telling you tonight that the only way the believer is going to make it is if he lets his light shine in this dark world for Jesus Christ. Mm. Even those who Daniel served with were trying to do him in, they still needed the gospel. Even though they were worshiping pagans, even though they were backstabbing him, they needed to know who the Lord was.
Hmm.
Is your window open, believer? Do people know who you serve? It's time for God's people. It's time for his remnant, his church, to rise up and let our light shine in this dark age for Jesus. God needs a people that will show his glory and his power today without shame.
Hmm.
God is looking for a people. But I want to look a little deeper into this message, because in this moment of God's the enemy has Daniel in this situation, God is doing something that Daniel could never see. And I want to look at that. Todd, if you could start there in verse 11 and just take it down through 16. Sorry for that's a big cut, but if you could take it there.
Whew. Good thing I wore my reading glasses.
Amen.
Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not.
Hold on a second. I bet his chest is puffed up at this moment.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, of course.
Yeah.
It's according to the law of the Medes and Persians. It don't alter one bit.
Right.
What are you in here for?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm a man. I'm going to stand strong. You know this law don't alter. Yeah. You hear him in his voice?
Yeah, you know, he might have stood up.
Exactly. Right. Verse 13, sorry, through 16.
All right. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which is the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee.
Mm. So here it's interesting. Here God is, he's working on Daniel, right? And Daniel's in this thing, and Daniel's like, you know what? I'm going to stand strong. I believe in the word of the Lord. And at the same time, now all of a sudden, Darius, who was sure, yes, that's right. All of a sudden, Darius gets hit with, uh-oh, what did I just say?
Yeah.
Folks, be careful what we say. Be careful when we get on our all high and mighty horse.
Yeah.
I tell you what, you know, there's an interesting book out that I just seen recently, and it's about spiritual abuse.
Hmm.
You know, sometimes there's as much abuse in the church as out in the world, for sure. And here we go. King Darius, you know, he's all of a sudden stuck, and it says that he's laboring all night until the sun goes down. He's laboring to try to get him out, but it didn't matter. There was nothing that could be changed because Daniel, he had to face the consequences. But what we couldn't see, what Daniel didn't realize, is that God was truly actually working on Darius's heart.
Hmm.
Now look at it here. Interesting. In verse 16, it said, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of the lions. And now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, will deliver thee. Hear this pagan king, right? Hear this king that was not worshiping the same, you know, he was...
He just thought he was God.
Exactly. He thought he was God. And now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he rises up with faith and says, you know what? No, Daniel, your God, he will deliver you.
Hmm.
And so here Darius comes with just this moment of faith. And we realize that God was working on Darius's heart behind the scenes, and nobody saw it happen. Folks, there are so many times that we are in situations where it feels like the world is coming down and everything's going wrong. And what we don't understand is sometimes God is using the situation that you're in to reach other people.
Hmm. Hmm.
I just heard the other day some people I know, it was very tragic. They lost a nephew. I think it was a motorcycle accident.
My goodness. A
car wreck. It was horrible. You know, one day it was over. And you kind of wonder, what do we do in a situation like that? How do we handle that? Well, about a year earlier, I had known of another tragedy where I think the son was lost in a skiing accident. It was horrible.
Oh, man.
And so here was another family that had been through the same thing. And the mother, the parent from that lost the son to the skiing accident, actually ended up going over and talking to the people that just lost their son in the motorcycle accident.
Oh, man.
To bring comfort. It moved my heart to hear that. As tragic as it was that that woman had to go through the loss of their son, she was now ministering to someone else who just lost a son. God many times uses our situation to witness and to reach other people. And when my brother was young, my parents went through a hard time. He was thrown out of he was at his grandma's house and he got thrown out of the van window and it rolled over on him. He was not buckled in. She just thought she could take him right down the street. And the vehicle rolled over on him and messed his forehead up. And he always just had a bad scar there and messed him up on the inside some too. And he always was going through life wondering, why did this have to happen with me? He'd always have his hair growing down so people wouldn't see the scar on his forehead and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, a few years ago, my brother was in a motorcycle wreck and they had to life flight him. And when they got him to the hospital, the doctor came in and talked to my parents and told him that if he hadn't had that accident when he was little, that scar tissue around his spleen saved his life.
Wow.
It would have severed it. But the accident he had as a child saved his life as an adult.
Mm.
You don't know what God's doing behind the scenes.
You don't know.
You don't know. And so here we've got, because of Daniel had decided that he was going to worship with his window open, he had to pay a consequence. But God was doing something behind the scenes that no one could have ever seen. You know, that night, Darius, as Daniel was there in the lion's den, was going through a trial like he couldn't imagine. After the stone had been brought and laid upon the mouth of the lion's den, and now Daniel was in complete darkness, the Bible said that the king in verse 18 had went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Both men were suffering that night. Both men were in darkness. One was in darkness because he didn't do the things of God. The other was in darkness, Daniel, because he had done the things of God. And so here I realized not only were they both in darkness, but both men were actually fasting that night. One was fasting because he had followed the things of the Lord and he couldn't eat in the lion's den. And the other one was fasting because he was so sick to his stomach that he could also not eat that night. And we see here two men that are going through the same trials. One because he did what God asked. And one because he... Now, we all know the story that God saved Daniel by shutting the mouth of the lions at night. And hallelujah. Thank you for that. But on top of that, in verse 19, it says that the king had rose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Do you understand the intensity that's in Darius's voice? He's there. He's, Daniel, is your God, has he delivered you? I mean, this man who was not falling, he's coming out a believer now. Yeah. And he's saying, Daniel, I need to see this. I mean, I believe it, but I want to know. I got to see it. Please, Daniel, show me your God's power. I got to know what I've been suffering all night long. I've been in the darkest of dark places. I've been in the pit of hell. I've been lying down there all night, and I need to see your God's deliverance.
Yeah.
I've been trapped in the chains of iniquity. Oh, Daniel, please let me see your God's power tonight. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that he have not hurt me.
That's powerful.
Hallelujah.
Can you imagine the chill that came over Darius's body at that point?
Here were hungry lions ready to devour, and God sends an angel, and two men end up getting saved.
Mm.
Daniel from the mouth of the lions, and the king, even though he was in the wrong, God changes his heart and comes out afterwards, and you can read on, folks, he ends up putting out a command that every dominion and kingdom, men tremble and fear the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and the steadfast forever. Daniel, or Darius, got born again that night.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Wow. Hallelujah.
That is amazing. That is absolutely.
And everybody, we see so often the trials that Daniel went through, but God was using his suffering to win the king. More, the gospel spread quicker because of one man's suffering in a matter of moments. His trial brought that message to the kingdom, the known world in that day. That the Babylon that the Persians now ruled over. God was working miracles.
Huh.
Are we worshiping with our windows open? Because just maybe, folks, what you're going through is for somebody else. I want to share a story with you. It's about a trip. I was in Africa one time. I'm hoping by God's grace to go back again. I think it's my sixth time. But I was over in Africa, and we were there, and at the time, the head of our missionary group had brought his grandchildren over, and it was a real special, and I'm so glad they all got to come because he died a few years later on that trip. And so we decided at the end of this mission trip, we're going to go on this safari out onto the Serengeti and see all this. So he, you know, it was a great time. You only get, if you ever go to Africa, don't miss the animals. It's just a most unbelievable thing. And so whenever you go to a third world country, anybody can tell you, as soon as they see the tourists, as soon as they see them coming in, the Americans and everything, the locals just automatically swarm you.
Yeah.
They want to make money. So we're coming off, we're done, we're coming out of the Serengeti, then Ngorongoro and all that stuff, and we're coming back down, and we've had a lot of flat tires. It's rough out there as can be. It's rough everywhere in Africa, I mean, at least in that part, in Tanzania. And so we're coming out of there, and we've stopped it. They're going to get some work done on a few of the tires on the safari vehicle that we were in. And so as soon as we get to this area, boom, everybody is surrounding the vehicles. And as much fun as it was hot out there.
Hmm.
It was a long day.
Hmm.
And I wasn't in the mood to deal with local vendors trying to sell me something.
Right.
You know, I just was tired. I just wanted to leave. And they were all coming around the vehicle. And so I roll my window up and I just don't even want to look at them. Right.
Right.
I don't even want to hear that. But they're there. And I'm like, oh, man, come on. And everybody that's in our group is kind of, there's some in the vehicle. There's another vehicle there with us, too. And they're out. Some are out. Some are still in. And so everything is going on, all this commotion. And I'm just like, would you please hurry up and let's get out of here.
Yeah.
And so now they're constantly knocking on the window. Hey, can I sell you this? Whatever. And so I was so frustrated. I thought, you know what? Okay, you want to play this game? Two can play this game, all right? So I decided, you know what? I'm going to reverse the tables on them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sell them something.
Right.
Okay, so I have my watch right here. I grab my watch, and I'm like, hey, how about this? You want to buy my watch?
Yeah.
You want to buy? I'm thinking, you know what I mean? I'm just going to mess them all up. Well, now all of a sudden, they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do some trading. I didn't want to trade. And then they start offering some things that were ridiculously low for my watch. It was,
yeah.
I mean, it's nothing but an Iron Man one. And so it wasn't super expensive, but they're wanting to trade now for my watch. And before I know it, my plan had backfired on me.
Yeah.
And I got people around. And so eventually that group left and some other guys come up there. And I was just like, I'm so frustrated. I just wish they would go away. Listen, I know I'm there on missionary work, but that's now over. I'm on a safari. Hey, it's my time now, right? I left God back in the missionary part when we were up in the mountains,
that's,
right?
That's right. Now, he can stay up there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm on my time now. It's time to relax.
That's
and they're
right.
frustrating me.
Mm.
So a little while later, another guy comes up to me, and he kind of just goes down in a real quiet voice, and he says, hey, you want to buy some weed?
Mm.
You want to buy some weed? And I'm like, you know,
he came a few years too late.
Yeah, some years ago, yes. But I thought, you know, I turned around the vehicle. I was like, hey, anybody need any weed? And we're like, no, everybody here doesn't smoke weed, so we're good. Okay, just kind of laughed for a second. And before I realized it, there were others. And now I realized that I'm now actually surrounded by drug dealers.
Oh, my.
These are not your normal tourists.
Right.
These are drug dealers coming around. And I had, you know, I understood, you know, all about the drug life. I lived it for so many years in my own life.
In a third world country?
Not in a third world country, but in my own life. And so here they're just frustrated. I'm like, oh, my lands, we've got drug dealers now. And I'm just like, I just want to shut the door, leave me alone. And so I'm sitting there, I'm trying to focus on my thing, and God begins to start working on my heart.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, man, I don't want to talk to these people. And God's like, you got something to share.
Yeah.
Tell them about it, man. Talk to them. This is your people. These are who you need to be speaking through. You've been through these things. Talk to them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to talk to them. And finally, out of absolute desperation and because of feeling this unbelievable burden on my shoulders, I roll back down my window. And I look at one of the guys and I said, take off your glasses. He took off his glasses, and I looked at him, and I said, you're high right now, aren't you? He said, yeah, I am. And I began to share with that man about my life of drug addiction and all the hurt and the pain and the things I had went through and the hardships and how God had brought me through and was able to deliver. And before you know it, I've got these drug dealers, and now they're beginning to swarm the vehicle, and they're listening, and I'm sharing with them about God. And the next thing you know, I've got their heads in my hands, dreadlocks, everything like that, no matter. And I'm holding these drug dealers' heads in my hands, in my window, and I'm praying that God would deliver them from those drugs. It was one of the most powerful things I've ever been through in my life.
Sounds like God doesn't work on your time clock.
And I realized, I remember, Todd, I'll never forget this. I looked out at this man who's one of the head guys around there, and I looked at his face, and I saw deep conviction come on him like I had not hardly seen before. This man was under conviction. And I remember his arms kind of just went down by the side.
Yeah.
And we talked, and he just left, and he went home that day. He was so convicted. I'd never seen that in somebody before.
Yeah.
And so here I am. I'm so frustrated. I don't want to hear these drug dealers or bother me. I'm in the middle of this, and I just want them all to go away. And I finally decide that I'm going to roll my window down. And when I roll my window down, God ends up working a miracle that day. Mm. And I am now holding these drug dealers' heads in my hand, and we are praying a blessing from the Almighty. And God was working. Because I had the courage to finally roll my window down. And I want to ask you, believer, tonight, are you willing to roll down your window? Are you willing to share the good news of Jesus with somebody? Because there's a world dying out there, and God has blessed you with understanding his love for you, and he's asking, could you bless someone else with that? The believer has a responsibility to let people know that God is in the business of saving lives. And he's a specialist at saving those who look unsavable. If there was a group of people you thought that wouldn't be able to be reached, it'd have been them.
Yeah.
And God was working a miracle because it decided to worship with my window open.
Amen.
Are we willing to do the same tonight? Folks, I'm pleading with you. Take this thing serious. There's nothing sweeter in a believer's life than taking someone into the waters of baptism and seeing their lives changed. Of seeing that person who had no hope all of a sudden have hope. And maybe, just maybe tonight, the situation that you're in, maybe God is using it to witness to somebody else. Maybe he's using it to witness to you that he can save and make changes. Are we worshiping with our windows open? Please, folks, take this message to heart. Cry out to God. Ask him to change your life. And I'm telling you, by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is able and willing to save even at this moment. Todd, I'm going to ask, would you close us out in a word of prayer tonight? That God would touch, folks, when you can get into those experiences where you're out of your comfort zone and see what God can do, folks, you won't believe what it's like. Trust him. Take a chance with God. He took a chance with you when he laid down his life on Calvary's cross because he felt that you were worth it. Todd, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're not worthy. We're not worthy of your grace. We're not worthy of anything that you give us freely. But we want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you for men like Daniel. We want to thank you for the courage that you give us. And Lord, we want to pray that you give us the Holy Spirit. Speak to us, minister to us, Lord. Help us to act accordingly. Lord God, keep us connected with you so that when it's time for us to keep our window open, no matter how it may be, that we keep it open so we can witness for somebody else. Our lives are not our own, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, you prove that over and over through the Bible, through examples. Every day we live, it's for you. It's for somebody else out there. Now, Lord, please impress this upon our hearts. Help us to live the way we speak. Lord, help us to reach those who need to hear it most. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Folks, God is coming. Jesus is coming soon. Time is short. The remnant are a body of believers that are warriors for the kingdom. We serve a powerful God. And even, folks, persecution, it's not weakness. Okay? What's happening out there, it's not weakness to be humble. It's strength. When we are willing to suffer persecution, yet still reach out and share the good news of Jesus with this dying world. Take a chance on God and he will come through. Folks, this is Brother Frank and Brother Todd saying good night, God bless, and shalom.
Amen. Shalom.
You've got music for everything, from pop hits for the gym to throwback jams for road trips. Now there's a Nissan for everything, too. Whatever life throws at you, from crazy commutes to unexpected adventures, there's a Nissan to help you through it. Click the banner to find yours at ChooseNissan.com today.